Welcome to episode 395 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. If you'd like to see what we've been talking about, be sure to check out our YouTube channel where you can see all of my mistakes by searching for Fly Away Podcast. My name is Lindsay, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander Travel agents, Elizabeth and Sandy. But wait, there's more. We are also joined by Amy, who is another Outlander agent and a favorite guest on our podcast.
Favorite. Did everybody hear
us? Very favorite.
Not the favorite. So. A favorite.
Bonjour, mes amis. So Amy recently took a little trip across the ocean to tour some of the most beautiful hotels in Paris and Nîmes, France. She's here tonight to share her thoughts and experiences, and we can't wait to hear all about them. I have to tell you, Amy, I felt like I was stalking you across
France. It was so funny, and I really can't believe, I think we were a day behind each other every day. That was so weird. And of all places, Nîmes. The first time I heard of it, when she said, we're going to Nîmes, I'm like, Nîmes? Nîmes.
Nîmes, yeah, you want to say Nîmes.
Nîmes. And I had to look at a map and figure out where it is. So Nîmes is southern France. Okay, can I apologize too, because I'm going to say a lot of bad French. Not bad words. I'm going to say a lot of French words really not well pronounced.
So would you say you're going to have a lot of faux pas?
Yes.
But,
See what you did there, Lindsay. Very nice.
So let's get, where did you start off on this grand tour of?
I started in Paris. So I think this would be actually a really cool itinerary for somebody. The whole time I was doing this, I was like, this is great. You can get your taste of Paris, where I've been before. And you know, when you've been somewhere and there's so much world to see, you're kind of like, okay, I've been there. I loved it, but I would like to see something else. So started in Paris for 3 nights. And then we took the train down to Nîmes, which is about a three and a half hour train ride down to Nîmes, southern France. And then we stayed there 2 nights. And then I left. So I flew into Paris and then I flew out of, okay, here it goes. I flew out of Marseille.
Yes.
That's where I flew out of, that place. And that was about an hour away. You could also fly out of Lyon.
Yes, Lyon. I was there as well.
Lyon. Yeah.
So the foodie capital of France, and some would even argue the world.
Oh,
it's true.
Well, it could be a good day trip from Nîmes.
Oh no, you need more days.
I have a lot of day trips.
So what was your first stop in Paris? So you're in Paris, but you're not doing Paris the way that you've done Paris before. You're doing Paris a new way.
Yeah, so, I did do it a new way. So can I start by saying my daughter, who is study abroad in Florence, Italy, came to visit me. So I went out a few days early before this work trip began. And we stayed at a Maison Albar hotel called La Diamond. And it's a really funky, it's right, I have my notes here because there were so many hotels I had to take notes. This is right next to the train station and the opera house. Okay, now here it goes. 20-minute walk from
Champs-Élysées.
I look at the spelling and it's so hard for me.
I had a hard time with it too.
Just remember in French, look at all the letters and then cut half of them out.
Yeah, just kind of run it all together.
So that's not the closest hotel of this brand that's near Champs-Élysées. This would be a 20-minute walk. Anyways, this one was really cool. It was a very boutique-y style, kind of a small artsy, funky lobby. The room was beautiful. It had one of the things my daughter loved was the heated toilet seat. It had a whole remote control for the toilet.
We had a Japanese toilet.
Wait,
too.
A remote control for the toilet?
Yes. Mm-hmm. For the heat adjustment, for the flush adjustment.
Aren't you just going to be right there? I mean,
but you don't always want to put your fingers on everything around there. So,
it was a really cool. It was perfect. And then she found out, so one of her favorite stores, Zara, some clothing store, was nearby. So we walked over there. Everything is really walkable there. Right around there, there's a lot of shopping, a lot of restaurants. And if you just like boutique and small, this was a really cool one to see and stay in. So we stayed there for two nights. Then I moved over to La Vendome for three nights. And we did everything there. So that one is also in near the, I wrote this down, see, near the Opera District. Place Vendome. Vendome.
Plus.
I say Vendome.
Plus.
How do you say it?
Plus.
Plus.
Plus. Vendome. And that was an amazing hotel. The staff, I mean, all of these hotels are small enough. It's not a big chain. The staff is so amazing and so willing to help. And let me say, they are so happy to have people back in their hotels after 2 years. The French were nice to me. Did you find that too, Lindsay?
So I've never had a rude experience in France. I had pre-COVID, they were nice to me then too, but that's because I always try and speak.
Because you were
say hi.
That's when they're rude. My only experience is a taxi driver, but I think taxi drivers are just rude, right?
I think in general people were, even when there was a group and they were crossing the street and maybe people had to wait, I felt not just in France but all over Europe people were a lot more patient. They were so happy to see tourists back that they're like, they weren't even mad about being inconvenienced. And we went to some little tiny towns in France that were, where we were really clogging up the road and had no issues. Everybody was smiling and waving. And I think I have the same.
They're so happy. And Macron had just lifted the whole mask mandate. So everybody was out everywhere with that mask. The cafes were open along all the streets. Even it snowed the day I arrived. All the cafes were open. Everybody's out. Loving eating out again. Yeah. We stayed at Le Diamond, but there were three other hotels that are in Paris. So there's that we toured. They're all different. So I hate to call this a chain. It's not like a Hilton or a Marriott. Every one of these is so unique. And yeah, I had some favorites over others, but you know, it's all relative. I love Vendome. That was my style, kind of classy, but not frou-frou-y. I loved it. The breakfast, I think you guys probably saw some of my pictures with the three-tiered breakfast.
The nice thing about YouTube is we can post your pictures too.
Yeah, so I'll ask you to send me some of your best pictures afterwards.
Oh, very cool. Okay, I have a lot of best pictures. Okay.
Sorry, Ian.
All right. So then there's also the Pont Neuf, which is right near the what museum?
Louvre?
Louvre?
Yes,
Louvre.
That one. And the Arc de Triomphe. That one. I'm not even going to try the same thing. You guys can say them all.
No, you got it, Amy.
You got it.
Yeah, I'm afraid to say anything.
No.
I love Pont-Neuf also. Like all of these are so like in the middle of France, and things are so walkable. No matter any of these that you stay at, there's something, a point of interest near any of them. The service was amazing.
So I'm guessing the Vendome is the biggest of them, perhaps. I know that it's one that actually the river cruise lines will use for their pre and post. So it must be a little bit larger, yes?
It is large. Yeah, I would say yes. I'm trying to remember, and I should have written down occupancy. I would say it probably is their biggest. And I know if Angelique cares, it's just going to say no. I think because I see that one listed a lot too. I would have to say, probably is.
So can you give, you talked about Le Diamant, Le Vendome, Le Pont Neuf, La Maison de la Champs-Élysées. And so then is there one that's actually called Le Champs-Élysées?
Yeah, so there's two, and I was getting confused with those two, and I had to keep taking notes on that. One is Maison Albar, Le Champs-Élysées.
Good.
And that one is right next to, right out the window. You can just walk right around the corner to the Arc de Triomphe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there. And then the other one, the La Maison, Maison La, La gosh, I just did not take French. I took Spanish in high school. that one is also really close to the Champs-Élysées, but it is definitely one that you need to qualify your clients for, because it's all in black, it's all in white, and all in silver. So they have a lobby that's all black walls, black chairs. They have a lobby that's all white with white chairs, white piano. Hallways that are done with metallic silver. They have a whole black hallway. One of the hallways is entirely black. It's really interesting and artsy and kind of funky, but I'm not sure that I could stay there. Now, I do remember them talking while I was there that I think they're sort of going to reduce some of this because it's very stark.
Are the rooms the same way? Like the rooms are either all white or all black?
And every room is different. Yes. But there's I have pictures of that. I don't know if you saw, one of the rooms is entirely white. The chairs are draped in a white cloth. The pictures are all, they all have white cloths over them. I won't say that they're warm feeling rooms, you know?
Okay. So it's more modern, cold.
And I hate
Was it like that Art Deco period? You know what I'm talking about in architecture where they were using that
so
glamour?
I do think that there was, they did name an artist that I didn't recognize that they did talk about. And I think that you're right, Lindsay. I think it probably has something to do with that. Like the tables in the lobby and stuff were floating. So does that make sense? The way that they have you sit on these chairs and you sit at the table, but it appears that everything's floating and off the ground by 2 inches. Yeah, it's funky.
That is interesting.
It's very, very cool.
If you like to live in a painting, then you might like this.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is this building was an old princess a castle. I forget the princess, not anybody famous, but it was one of her old houses. And the staircase is beautiful.
My old castle.
I know, just my castle.
Just my old castle.
I will say that was probably, and still the people were so nice, but I don't know that you really have to be special to stay there. I think you really have to enjoy this kind of art in that. Yeah.
That's the one thing about boutiques that's really nice is that each one can fit someone else's personality. Right. And something that might not appeal to me might be the best experience you've ever had. And you're getting it in this small dose where you're not overwhelmed with a whole bunch of different rooms and that kind of.
So one of the travel agents with us, her husband is an engineer. And the whole time she was taking pictures, she's like, my husband would love this. He would love that. There were just little things that she noticed that I didn't, because she is married to an architect that notices these things that other people wouldn't. So like you said, yes, mm-hmm. You could appeal to somebody.
And so, we didn't start by saying this, but these hotels are all 5-star properties, right? These are all luxury.
Yes. Properties. I would say 4.5, 5-star for sure. Some are more 5-star. We'll talk like that one in Nîmes is definitely it. Yeah. That's a 5-star and it has the Michelin's 2-star restaurant in it. Yeah. They just got their second Michelin star in 2 years, I think, which is.
Did you eat there?
The unheard of.
Did you eat there?
So let's see. Which one is the one? I love the. Another one I really like. It was that one. The other one near the Champs-Élysées. The Hotel L-E, not the L-A one, the L-E, Champs-Élysées. That one was kind of based loosely on Napoleon, and there's all these bumblebees and his hunting lodge, and there's a rhinoceros in the lobby. It's really, I love that one. And Angelica is going to laugh if she hears this, but I guess it's the manager, the sales, inside sales manager that toured us around. Was really not bad on the eyes either. I want to pack him up and take him home. If you're there, you'll know what I'm talking about.
So did you leave Paris then?
So when we left Paris after 3 nights, we took the train, which that was an experience because honestly, when I've taken the train in Europe before, the last time I took a train by myself in Europe was when I was 23 and very adventurous. And nowadays, I have my private driver that I have prearranged, and I'm going with something like Globus where everything's prearranged. I don't have to think. So yeah, we're in the train station. I was like, oh my gosh, I have to learn how to read this. Like, what? How is this working? And the rail, you have to remember how to get on the rail and go quick and find first class and second class. And then I have to lug my own suitcase. So yeah, there's all these little things that I forgot about. There's not many people to help you. And I had a large suitcase. No. So yeah, I had to lug that upstairs to my first class rail car.
But I had two suitcases and a carry-on and did that. And I did the train several times in France.
Going and didn't you feel like somebody was probably somewhere lurking around the corner filming you laughing?
I know. So my rusty Midwestern high school French did not cover sarcasm or anything like that, but I'm fairly certain you can pick up tone even if you don't understand the words. And I know people were laughing, but the difference is I had people help me with my bags. Like I had a guy literally grab my bag out of my hand and insist on carrying it downstairs, and someone else grabbed the other one. And they were very, very kind. And of course I've learned recently that I look like an old lady. So,
did you feel like they were trying to steal your bags?
Yeah, I was going to say,
he was wearing much nicer clothing than I was. I don't think he was trying. And he had a nice suitcase. I didn't, not that that's any good, the judge of character, but at that point in time, I was so tired of carrying my luggage around that had he taken it, I would have given it to him.
Wow.
Right. Good. One less thing. But yeah, the getting on and off, and then talk about the times. Cause we had 3 minutes. Came the other way. We came from Barcelona and we had 3 minutes to get off.
it was funny. So when we figured out which track it was going to be on, we all like crowded in to get down that track. But then we're like, we all had first class tickets and we loaded on, we couldn't figure out the cars. There's like the numbering and so we accidentally got on second class and realized we're in second class. And we had to have our first class. We had to rush off, find our first class car and hop on there. Yeah, we had, I think, 10 minutes, which was, I think 10 minutes. And I think we stopped one place on the way and then we were in Nîmes. It was an easy, beautiful ride along the countryside. It was gorgeous.
You didn't have to change trains once you were on your train.
No, no changes. Thank goodness. No.
So I have done that thing before where I got on the wrong train, but they were on the same track and they were so close together. It looked like one train and I got in the first class for the wrong.
But did you have an adventure?
Oh, that was in a different country, but I wasn't the only one. There was about four of us. They're like, you need to get off at this next station and get on the train that's in front of us.
That's
how fast they are.
It is quick. You really do have to pay attention. So, I have. I call them elderly, but they're in their 70s. They're taking the train in Europe, and I just want to. I'm going to have to go over that with them.
We do.
So that was like 3.5 hours.
We do have a tip sheet, Amy.
Yeah.
Oh, for the tip sheet.
And then also if people get this is why you get first class and this is why you get the flex ticket, because even if you have a little misadventure or you get off on the wrong, then you can just get on the next train that's going in that direction. And it's not that big of a stressor as if you only had that one ticket and that was your chance and now you've got to rebuy it again. But so now you're in Nîmes. And
and if you haven't been to Paris, or even if you have, it's a pretty fast pace of life. Like, it's a big city and there's a lot to see and people are kind of in a hurry and it's just that feel to it. You get off the train and Nîmes, and the station is this grand, beautiful old station and everybody's just chill. It's not as crowded. It's gorgeous. This town, everywhere you go is walkable. Doesn't matter where you stay. You can walk anywhere in that town. Restaurants, a Colosseum, a Roman Colosseum, like just anywhere. And that downtown, there's all these streets that all lead to different squares with restaurants and crepes. It was gorgeous. I loved it. And this hotel, so that is called La Imperator. Imperator. Am I saying it wrong?
Yes. It's okay.
The Imperator?
We'll put it in the show notes so that those of you who actually can read the French can read it. I believe it's L'Imperator.
Okay, that. Yeah, that sounds better. They say, yeah, that sounds like how they said it.
Yeah. 6 years of French pays off.
It's like little imp.
And I feel like with a name spelled like mine, like I should know some French just to go along with it or something. But this hotel, I loved it. So it was kind of, it was originally built back in the early 1900s, which really is not old for Europe, right? Mm-hmm. But no. This was a place that Ernest Hemingway stayed for months. Pablo Picasso was there, stayed there for a while. But it's that kind of old and kind of that 1920s feel to it. It has the old elevator with the gate that you close, still works and operates. A beautiful garden, which I can imagine, it was cold when I was there, but I can imagine you can just be outside and have your drinks. There's a bar downstairs. There's a little restaurant downstairs. And then there's also, like I said, what is it called? I think I wrote it down. Okay, Duende. That's the name. Duende? I'm saying Duende.
I don't know that word. That's interesting.
So, and they are, I didn't write the name of the chef down, but he just earned his second Michelin star in 2 years. So they're moving on up really quick. And they have a lot of locals that come in too. And we ate there one night.
And so was this, is this a large hotel? Is it sort of like the grand hotel?
It's a big hotel. Yes. So not only is there the hotel with like the hotel part of it, but in the back there are, I don't remember how many, like maybe a handful of 2 and 3 bedroom suites. So if you have a family, you can stay back there. One of them has a private pool. So it's gorgeous. And I loved it. And you can walk, like I said, anywhere there. You don't. And then day trips for me. So I wrote some of these down. And I'm going to say them. Do you dare me?
We're ready.
I dare. We're ready.
So you could go to Avignon, mm-hmm. 1 hour drive. And then
Arles,
30 minutes away. Provence is 4 hours, mm-hmm. but maybe you could just go from Nîmes. Mm-hmm.
I think you just go, because that's what we did. I did all of those cities.
Yes. So did you get Ez? Ez is one of my favorite places, and that's a 3 hour drive.
So
that's right on the coast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the coast. And
did you make it there, Lindsay?
I believe we did. Yes. I'm going through my pictures.
So that's the place that has you go up a huge mountain almost, and it's the walled city that's up on top of it.
Yes. Yes. And you've got the
cobblestone roads,
and you can see the,
you're right over the ocean.
Yep.
That is amazing. So that's a 3 hour drive. Nice is 3 hours. So you could take day trips, or you could do a few days in Nîmes and then a few days somewhere else, fly out of somewhere else, you know, I just love this town. I am so going back, and every hour of every day that I was there, I was texting my husband, like, we are coming back. I'm doing the girls trip here, or I'm doing the couples trip here. We are coming back. I will be
so back. When you were in Nîmes, did you see like the little, there were these little, like the street cappers on the streets. You know how they sometimes have a design stamped on them? It was like an alligator. Looked like he was around a palm tree. What do you know the story behind that? Because
I'm going to be in so much trouble.
We
had a tour.
These things.
Yes. There is a story about that. Shoot, Lindsay, why did you ask me that?
Because I almost broke my neck. I almost broke my neck trying to get a picture of one of them.
Angelique's never going to invite you back.
I'm going to, I'm not sending this to Angelique. She's like, Amy, you learned nothing.
well, you have to go back then. You remedial France. We have to do it all over again.
I'm going to Google it. Walnut alligator.
The main purpose of this trip was to see these hotels. It was a work trip. So you were touring these hotels.
Right.
But what other activities did you do? Did you take a nice long hike? Like, what did you do?
One day when we were in Paris, we visited Montmartre. Yeah, that one. We went there for the day. We went there for the day. And we toured all around. We had an amazing tour guide that day. That's something you have to do. If you're in Paris, that's just like 10 minutes. right outside of Paris. You should go do that.
Did you go see this guy?
I did not see him. No, and I would not pack him up and take him home.
It's a beautiful Colosseum. Gorgeous city.
So, Lindsay, you're back in Nîmes, correct?
Yes, Mint Nîmes.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yes.
That was Nîmes.
So, but when we were in Nîmes, we went to another amazing place. Never heard of. Let's see, where did I write this one down? Okay. Camargue?
Camargue.
C-A-M-A-R-G-U-E.
Yeah, there's no extra A in there. Camargue. Should be. Right?
Yeah. So I guess, yeah, that was really cool. So this is, gosh, I'm going to have to send you that picture for this. Inside the city is this huge walled, like it, he says it's a block. The wall is a block, but it is like an American three blocks maybe of just an amazing wall. And inside is a city. It's a city. There are stores in there. There's a church in there.
Is it?
People live in there and work in there.
Amy.
Yes. Yes. Is that it?
We can put the pictures up, yeah, Lindsay, sorry. During we'll the edit.
Sorry. Sorry.
I think that's it, yeah.
I was wondering if it was the same because we literally...
Sorry. Did you go there?
You went there? No, we went past there on our way because then we were in a bus. Okay. We got on a bus.
So we did that. And so that city, that little town that we were in, the C town, C-A-M-A-R-G-U-E town, is close enough to Spain that they have this huge influence from Barcelona and Spain, and they do a bull run every year. It's a big event, and they do the running of the bulls through their streets. I had bull stew for lunch one day.
How was that?
It actually was really good. It tasted was? Just like beef stew.
I mean, it is technically.
Yeah, right. So we met the farmers. But that's what you see all over the countryside. There's flamingos, pink flamingos everywhere, and bull farms.
Flamingos, really?
Yeah, who would have flamingos?
Isn't that crazy? They were everywhere in this area. Really quick, the palm tree and the crocodile. The palm represented victory. The crocodile signified Egypt, and it commemorated the victory of the battle of Actium in 31 BC when the Egyptians were conquered.
Sorry.
So there were Egyptians in...
Well, there's a huge Roman, I guess. Roman, yeah.
I just love how anybody who wasn't born in the U.S. is listening to this podcast right now and going, oh, they had no idea what history... You know the culture
I definitely knew Rome was all over France. I mean, Rome was all over everywhere, and I know Egypt was, you know, there was a relationship there, but I didn't realize that Egypt sort of leaked into France.
Did you say that was? It was
like 31. Oh, wait a minute.
Something AD, like 41.
31 BC.
Oh, BC.
The Battle of Actium, A-C-T-I-U-M.
Yeah. They're still putting it on their sword cap things?
It was on there. So it's on their first coin. It was on their first coin in Nîmes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so of all these hotels that you saw, which one was your favorite?
Oh, that's easy. So easy. That was Nîmes. That one. So L'Emperateur?
Yeah.
I feel like I have to go like that. Like the French word. L'Emperateur. That one.
So
I loved it.
So kind of describe the hotel, if you can.
So when you go in, it's definitely a 1920s feel, but very open, like a huge lobby. And it looks right out into these huge glass walls of the garden. Huge garden, beautiful, like a garden area just to sit out in and relax. I could totally picture just sitting out there having a glass of wine. You go in, there's a bar, the Hemingway bar is to the right. And then there's the restaurant where people have breakfast in the morning. Oh, we had lunch there as well. Lunch was delicious. And then the fancy restaurant is off to the right behind the bar, but I don't know, you walk in and then behind you is the hotel part. Then this, it kind of reminds me of a little Grove Parky. I don't know if you've been, like, just kind of that feel to it. And that was, you know, 1920s too.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
So it kind of has that feel to it. not lodgy. I wouldn't say lodgy like the Grove Park in Asheville, but it just had it. I don't know. I love that feel. It was pretty laid back. The whole town was just laid back to me. For Paris, I would think, gosh, I did love La Vendôme, but for smaller, I might do the Diamond or the L-E, Champs-Élysées.
So you haven't talked very much about Pont Neuf. Did you not like it?
Oh, no, I did. I really loved it. In fact, we had lunch there. It was a really rushed day that day. I remember that. We did a shopping tour that day. That was one of our excursions that day, was like if we had a person shopping day. No, I love that hotel. Actually, that's a very cozy hotel. I think that's one that you could put someone, anybody would be happy there. In fact, I have some clients who are heading there in October.
It's a great location.
Yeah, it is a great location. Yes. Especially for somebody that's never been to Paris before. You're right there. Yeah.
So what did you do on your personal shopping tour?
That's interesting. They wanted to show us what it would be like to have a personal shopper, and because you know we're talking 5-star properties, so you want the 5-star experiences you could put with it. And if you had a personal shopper for the day, so they had this grand old, like a department store in the middle of downtown France, and
downtown Paris.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, that is and they took you to this lounge, a private lounge, and there were probably 4 separate rooms that were all decorated differently. You could pick the room you wanted. Had a big mirror, sofas and chairs. You were served champagne. And I'm blanking on those little macarons. But you could either say ahead of time, like I'm here to look at wedding dresses, and they'll have a bunch of wedding dresses up, but you can try them on, or you could go with your personal shopper and say, I really want a purse, and they'll go with you down to look at the purses and purchase everything. And yeah, I've never seen anything like that, but apparently they do have them in department stores.
Was there anything else that kind of caught your eye as kind of like a unique thing to do in these areas?
Just being back in Europe at this whole time, just being back in Europe was after 2 years, because it'd been since 2019 since I was there. And just seeing people out, and even not masked. I mean, on the way home, I will say, you know, right now the mask mandate is off for airplanes and airports, but at that time it was not. But I will say in London, where it was really bad, people were not masked in the London airport. Did y'all notice that?
Yep,
did you go
not at all.
There?
They dropped the mask mandate in Heathrow when I was there.
While you were there.
Right, before I got COVID.
But there still are some international flights to Europe that do require them, we should say.
Right.
Not all flights.
It depends on the airline.
I just think the fact that you have to test to come back in, you might really want to think about masking.
So did they facilitate that for you, or did you have to find a pharmacy? What did you have to do?
So we found a pharmacy, which was right around the corner in Nîmes, because everything's walkable right around the corner. I think it cost us 20 euros or something. And it was 15 minutes.
I found that it was super easy when I was in France.
Super easy. You just ask the hotel staff where to go, and they're like, just right around the corner.
Very easy. I'll call
the pharmacy, tell them you're coming.
Well, it's nice to know that even, I mean, in Paris, you would expect to be able to find something. It's Paris. It's one of the biggest cities in the world, but it's good to know. And Nîmes isn't like, it's not a tiny little country town or anything, but it is smaller. So it's good to know that it was just as easy from there.
It's downtown France.
Yeah. I found all over Europe any pharmacy. It seemed that was very accessible. And then when I flew out of Paris as well. I flew out through Charles de Gaulle, and I tested there. It was 30 euro. And
at the airport?
Yeah, just at the airport. Just because I was staying at the Sheraton in the airport for the last couple nights before I left, and just flew out right from there.
How did you like that Sheraton? I actually have to book that for a client. I'm late.
You know, I really, I gotta say, I really liked it. It wasn't, you know, it's not like nothing super fancy, but
it's just for a night before, you know.
Yeah, just for a night before. The rooms are kind of shaped like a ship, with the, which I thought the layout of the hotel was like a ship layout, which was kind of neat. And I, but you know, she knew I was working in my room, so they took pity on me and gave me a room facing the runway so I could watch the planes from my desk. But it is kind of, it's a business conference hotel. The restaurant there is pretty nice. You have easy access to the rest of the airport if you need to go out and do something. But yeah, I think I would definitely stay there again.
You can just walk, like, is the airport attached to it?
Yeah, it's
inside. It's the easiest hotel to get to, Amy. You get off of the train, you go up the elevator, and you are right there. You literally walk out, and then boom, right there is the Sheraton.
Nice. That
is just so right there.
So when you flew back from Marseille, did you connect in Paris, or did you connect somewhere else?
I connected coming back through... I had two stops, London Heathrow. It was London.
Okay.
And then, oh my gosh. And then I think I was Charlotte.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
You must have been on American Airlines.
Yes.
We're getting our nonstop back though for RDU.
Yes, shortly. Yeah, very soon.
Can't wait for flights to get reintroduced.
Yeah, the American Airlines flight to Heathrow is coming back much sooner than the RDU flight to Paris, sadly, but I think Paris is coming back August 1st and only like 4 days a week, but hey, I'll take it. 4 days.
And what are y'all?
4 days. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can talk air later. I have some air issues right now.
All right. Well, guys, that is our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us, and please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends all about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever it is that you get your podcasts. We would really love to hear from you, and don't forget to like us and subscribe to us on YouTube. A special huge thank you to Amy for joining us tonight.
Yay. Amy.
Yay, Amy and May. You did such a wonderful job. I loved living through your pictures, and I felt like I got like a little peek into where I was going. So I was like, I was pre-gaming everywhere through your trip. Thank you for sharing your trip with us and for being here tonight. And please come back more often because we missed you.
Thank you.
On behalf of Sandy, Elizabeth, and myself, Lindsay, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.